Peace be with you, and thank you, Emil. Shall we pray? Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your word. For your word is precious. And now we unfold your word in front of our eyes. And may your word transform us, renew us, and bring us new joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And this is the song we have just sung. And so we read it together. I understand that not everybody understand the song, know the song. But this is an old gospel song. Our younger generation may not be familiar with it, but it is just scripture. Let's see it. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much pure gold, than honey and dripping of the honeycomb. Now the BCA Provincial Health Authority expected to lift most of the restriction because of the pandemic to enter into the step 4 reopening. However, viral infection is not entirely in the hands of humans. Ever since sin has entered the world, pain and suffering, including sickness, coexist with human. Like it or not, sickness is here to stay. There is no way to take them away. The constant consistency of God has been replaced by constant variance. The only constant we know is variance now. At the same time, LGC has been making arrangements for our congregation to come back to church to worship. We would like to see it as before the pandemic. As the Jews returned to Jerusalem after 70 years, not a few people would imagine the Jerusalem of glory in the yesteryears. Ezra 3 recorded the dedication of the new temple foundation. There the older people who have seen the glory of the old Solomon temple wept. For those people who have had experience of the old temple, they remember what glorious years they were, and they took the temple for granted. However, they were not aware of the very fact that they were those who had forgotten the law of the Lord. For that reason, sin has entered the kingdom. There are no more glorious Solomonic temple, and all have changed. Today is the first Sunday of September, and we come back to worship. BC Health Authority no longer has any restriction for worship service. But still, we cannot go back to the pre-pandemic era. However, Ezra Nehemiah strives to tell us the importance of to return is not going back to the past. We can never go back to the past. Life moves forward. Ezra Nehemiah wanted to tell us it is more important to be renewed and rebuild a new order. September is traditionally a time of welcoming. I understand that most of the schools, especially university, will have orientation day on Tuesday. So this is a time to welcome. Most of us return from our summer break and irregular time schedule back to a more orderly, more structured life. Students return to the class schedule, the church resume the Sunday school, fellowship meetings are becoming regular now. Of course, we will follow the BC Health Authority's guideline, but in reality, this is a new normal. time has changed and the circumstances are changed. Now this is the time we need to change ourselves too. Nehemiah can give us direction for changes. The Jews returned from exile and all things had to be rebuilt. All things are new now. The temple needed to be rebuilt as a religious and worship center. City wall needed to be rebuilt so that Jerusalem can become the center of politics and life. All these are the wisdom and vision and mission of Nehemiah, the political leader who was called to be Saul. After restoring all the hardware, what gives these centers life is the spiritual content of these centers. The Jews needed to rebuild their spiritual life. If Ezra's mission is to rebuild the worship and purity of the returning Jews, Nehemiah's was to rebuild an orderly life. An orderly life would start from the city wall. When the returning Jews were threatened, the city wall gave them the security and stability. Yet in the very center of the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, Ezra came forth as the main actor in the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was reduced to a supporting role. Nehemiah here is to tell us, in order to continue the process to rebuild, spiritual renewal is the major premise. The center of tangible worship is in the temple. The center of real life is within the city wall. But the center of true faith is in the law of the Lord. The scripture, before Nehemiah can rebuild an orderly life of Jews again, Ezra came to the forefront here. The timeline of Ezra and Nehemiah overlap. Their time in Jerusalem also overlap. Ezra and Nehemiah is organized in topics instead of by chronology. Each one of them had their own past, have their own post. To put it simply, probably too simply, Nehemiah is about everyday life and Ezra is about spiritual nourishment. Politics and daily life begins with worship. An orderly life unfolds. Then we need a deeper spiritual life, more than just worship, a superficial worship. Nehemiah is the first step to a deeper spiritual life. Chapter 8 gives us the content of the worship. The scripture recorded the Jews made a wooden podium by the water gate. It is obvious that there were many people joining. The public square in front of the water gate provided just the space they need. Another reason being the people who are gathering. The people included men and women as well as children. Those who can understand could join. The temple square would not be open for women and children and would not allow all people to join. So they all gather together in front of the water gate. It gives us a good guideline. From the beginning to the end, the law is for everybody who understands. So the Bible is for those who can understand. Actually, I believe every one of us who sit here understand. We have the ability to understand. It is for us. As Ezra opened the scroll, all the people stood. Then Ezra opened the book in the sight of all people, or he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. This shows a very important attitude. When the Bible is unfolded, all the people stood up.
It is an attitude of utter respect. Beyond standing up, they say Amen, Amen, and then they bow down and worship. As we open our Bible, the attitude towards the Bible is decisive. What the Bible is to us. I'm not saying we have to worship the Bible or treat the Bible as relic. The popular Roman Catholics believe relics have magical power to exorcise and heal. So whoever has get hold of relics is spiritually protected. We don't buy that. Among popular Christians believe the Bible is very useful to me. The Bible is very useful. How useful is the Bible? The usefulness of the Bible is often shown in a way of interpretation. In the last few years, in Hong Kong, the Christian always ridicule that there's a popular saying that the Bible is here to serve me. The Bible is very useful to me. Once I say the Bible is very useful to me, then I become the subject and the Bible becomes the object. The Bible is here to serve me. What does it mean by the Bible is here to serve me? A lot of time we have an understanding or position. Then we take up the Bible to look for proof to substantiate my position. Generally, it is called proof texting. As a human being, I would certainly like the idea that the Bible is on my side. I like the Bible on my side. Unfortunately, we are just human. The prophet Isaiah said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, why did Isaiah admonish the Jews in these words? These words are not exactly comforting words, as we usually think they are. They are actually admonition. The two verses ahead actually says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked abandon his way and the unrighteous person his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." The Jews, as Isaiah's time, had actually abandoned their God and they walk in their own ways. In another word, they have turned everyone to their own ways. They did things according to what they believe is right. Did they worship? Did they make offering? Yes, they did. But this is not, it's still not right. They walk on the ways they believe was correct. Walking according to one's own way is often apart from great evil. Walking on my own way is not necessarily great evil. We are just not on the road God has ordained for us. Oftentimes, the direction is even correct. We may just take a shortcut. Correct direction, but we took a shortcut. Or we take advantage of some loopholes. We all have our own understanding of what is acceptable. Examine ourselves. Look into ourselves. Do we want to take a shortcut or take some advantages of a loophole? At times, we all do. So we use our own understanding and standard to make judgment. When it is to our advantage,
we exaggerate the fact. When it is to our disadvantage, we downplay the reality. I'm not saying this is any great evil. It is not. Yet Isaiah made it very clear, we should never deviate from the way of the Lord. The thoughts of the Lord should not be amended, but to follow closely. Especially from verse 6, the word seek the Lord, seek. And then call upon him, call upon. Point out the respect attitude towards the Bible. We seek God's thoughts and way from his Bible. Think about it. In the 1960s, in the height of civil rights movement, we can find from many published sermons of the time, many Southern pastors has argued African Americans are indeed inferior and accursed by God. We can find it in published sermons. That this theory bolsters the legitimacy of slavery. The Bible is of use by me. The Bible is of service, is of my service. In the 19th century, a report from an Anglican bishop actually stated indigenous people are savage, so they need to be re-educated and they need to be to sever them from their culture. It is entirely justified. When they punished the indigenous children in boarding school, it is entirely justified because the prophet tells us so. If I have an agenda and hoping the Bible to affirm me, then my attitude must be wrong. If I have an agenda and I dig up the Bible to look for something in the Bible that will support my stand, then my attitude must be wrong. In a negative sense, we refuse to make use of the Bible, but on the positive note, the Bible should guide my service. The Bible is for those who let the Bible guide his or her way. Whenever we open the Bible, shall we pray, "Our Lord Jesus, open my eyes, enlighten my heart, challenge me with your words. May the Bible take away my own understanding and be fused me with your thoughts. Renew me and give me the direction of renewal." When I open the Bible, we have to have an attitude. Let the Bible transform me. Let the Bible challenge me. If we come to a point, whenever we read the Bible, we see the Bible agrees with me 100%, then we are walking on thin ice. As we continue to read, we will begin to understand how the Bible can guide my words and deeds. It continues. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord, your God. Do not mourn or weep. This day is holy to the Lord, your God." For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the Lord. Please pay a particular attention to the last two sentences. The word weep happens in five occurrences in the Ezra-Nehemiah passage. Four out of five occurrences clearly took the meaning of repentance and disappointment. They repented for their own sin and disappointed in their own doings. They regret for themselves and disappoint in themselves. The first one is from Ezra 3:14. It is the old man who has seen the first temple wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, because they see this foundation is so much smaller, much less grander than before. Now while Ezra was praying and making confession, weeping and prostrating himself before the house of God, a very large assembly, men, women, and children gathered to him from Israel, for the people wept greatly. But this is the time that Ezra has declared to the people, to the Jews, that they have sinned. They have abandoned the law of the Lord. Now when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. This is what Nehemiah did when he heard that Jerusalem was under duress. And he realized that he has not done his part. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the Lord. When the word of the Lord was declared, the Jews wept because they knew they fell short of the law. Judging from the teaching of Ezra and Nehemiah passage, the Bible is not to bolster my position. The Bible is to point us to our shortcomings and wrongs. As the people listen to the Bible, understand the Bible, they begin to realize their own shortcomings, for the Bible is like a mirror to my own self. We are naked under the bright light of the Word. The good, the bad, what's and all, are laid bare in His holiness. That is why all the people were weeping when they heard the word of the Lord. So the Bible is for those who will be broken down. In a postmodern term, people who are willing to be deconstructed. We use the Bible to deconstruct oneself, that we can be reconstructed and molded by the Word of God. We thank God for this is not the end. No, this is not the end of the law of the Lord. We thank God for this is not the end. The passage continues on. And he said to them, "Go, eat the festival food, drink the sweet drinks, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your refuge." So the Levites silenced all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." Then all the people went away to eat, drink, to send portion, and to celebrate a great feast, because they understood the word which has been made known to them. This is what we call when night turned to day. When the Bible exposes our vanity and fallacy, the time of renewal begins. We shall see true peace and joy in front of us. As I examine myself through the light of the Bible, I learn to repent. For all Christians have experienced the joy of being forgiven, and our burden of sin will fall off. Now, may I suggest to you a simple spiritual exercise that we can practice. Set aside a period of time in regular interval, say 1 hour at a time, but in regular interval, say not during this week and then next year, but every month, what about every 2 months? Use at least 1 hour, read and study the Bible with an open mind. Sometimes it is sufficient just to read. Just to read.
let the Bible talk to me. Let the Bible talk to me. Ask the Lord to enlighten me with His word. I believe this regular exercise will bring me joy. It will bring me joy. Every time I prepare Bible study or my sermon, actually, I'll do one exercise. I'll read the passage aloud at least 30 times. So let the passage come to me and enlighten me. I'm not looking for something to preach, but I want to know what the Bible wants to say to me. People always say, when the preacher preaches, they preach to themselves first. Simply put, in order to rebuild and to renew, though we may have all the hardware ready, the most important thing to do is to return to the Bible. Not that the Bible will affirm my good. Instead, let the Bible challenge me and transform me. The Bible is for those who can understand. It means you and me. The Bible is for those who let the Bible guide his or her way. And those who will be broken down. Those who will experience joy by the renewal from the Bible. This is something I believe. And there's so much joy. In the next few weeks, as our people will continue to study Nehemiah 8, 9, 10, and we'll continue to talk about how the joy will be celebrated. Meanwhile, at the end, shall we meditate upon Psalm 19 again? And we shall read it together. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much pure gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb.